Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we begin a new series focusing on the Holy Spirit. The Reverend Fabian Verks begins with an overview. The readings are taken from Joel 2 verses 28 to 32 and Acts 1 verses 1 to 8. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
This first reading is from Joel. Joel, the prophet, is describing the destruction of the land by locusts, and that may have been a metaphor for invading armies. But also, he's explaining how there is still time for the nation to turn back to him. In some of the earlier verses, he says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." So here in chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, Joel continues to pass God's message of deliverance to his people. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivor whom the Lord calls." This is the word of the Lord.
And the second reading is from Acts chapter 1 with its own introduction. It's just before Jesus ascends into heaven. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' This is the word of the Lord."
Thank you. Always forget it's this one.
That's one.
There we go. Otherwise, I'll mess it up again. There you go. Let's pray. And it's a prayer that those who are using Lectio 365 might recognize. I've changed it a little bit to fit our theme today. Creator God, who formed humanity from dust, breathe in us again. Revive, restore, renew us by the power of your Spirit. Set our heart on fire with the good news of your gospel. Amen. Now, if you were to go out in the street and ask someone to say something about Jesus, what they know about Jesus, there is a pretty good chance that they will give you some kind of answer. They might speak about, they might just say, I think it's a myth. They might say, it's someone who lived quite a long time ago, who had quite a big influence. They might speak about him being an amazing teacher. They might say something about, if it's a bit more religious, being a prophet. Or they might even use the titles that are well known to Christianity, something like the Son of God or things like that. But if you were to ask the same person to say something about the Holy Spirit, I'm not sure the answer will be quite exhaustive, even among Christians. Even in church history, the Holy Spirit, at first, in the creed, looked like, if you read the creed, like an afterthought. We believe in God the Father, and you have a little bit of description of God the Father. We believe in God the Son, and we see about his conception, birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension. And then there is just a little bit in the first creed, we believe in God the Holy Spirit. That's expanded a little bit more, but even throughout history of the church, the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, seems to be sometimes like an afterthought, or like the idea, and this morning we talked about Star Wars and the Force. The Holy Spirit is not like Star Wars, it's not a force, it is a person, we'll see. It's not a vague spiritual reality that permeates the whole of the universe. It's much more than that. Or for some, it's something quite strange or even freaky. And I don't know why the English language came with the word Holy Ghost. But today, if you speak about the Holy Ghost, it might freak a few around us. Now, back in Belgium, my own experience growing in an evangelical church, becoming Christian as a young person, Jesus, yes, pray to Jesus. Pray to the Father, yes, of course, our Father in heaven. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Use the word Holy Spirit and pray to him. Felt at best a little bit weird, and sometimes it felt like wrong to pray to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at the Holy Spirit for the coming weeks, and we'll be going to see that it's not a vague force. The Holy Spirit is a person, part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's not an afterthought or an optional extra, because he is essential to the Christian life and essential to the life of his church. So we started with a passage in the Old Testament, a promise. Because there is a big difference between the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit before Jesus and the work and the presence of the Holy Spirit with Jesus and through what Jesus has done through his death, resurrection, and ascension. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was for particular people at particular times and for particular task, and we have all kind of stories of the Holy Spirit's coming on people or being filled with the Holy Spirit. For example, when they built the tabernacle, which is this kind of portable tent, portable worship center at the time of the Jews when they were walking through the desert. And it says the Holy Spirit came on people to give them abilities to build it, craftsmanships. We have the period, for example, before the kings, the period of the judges, and you have several accounts of the Holy Spirit coming on a person like Samson and giving him supernatural strength to defeat the enemies. We have, of course, King David filled with the Holy Spirit, inspired him to write things like the Psalm and giving wisdom to rule. Spirit came upon judges, warriors, and prophets in a way that gave them extraordinary abilities to inspire, to encourage, to teach, or to say, if you don't repent, like we've seen in Joel, this is what's going to happen. This is what God is going to do. But there is time, and it always was about encouraging them to go back to God. It was not a done deal. And in our passage, he also speaks about a promise of something new. I will pour out my spirit on all people. That was different. It was not about just particular time, particular place, and particular people, but on all people. And that's what we have in the book of Acts, when we will see in 2 weeks, the experience of Pentecost, that very passage is brought to the front. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Ezekiel will say there is a time when people will receive a new heart. God will put his spirit in us, removing our stony hearts and replacing them with hearts that's God-willed, not self-willed. That's the idea of a new thing that God was going to do. All people, regardless of positions, ages, genders, ethnicity, or race. And so in our passage, we have sons and daughters, old man and young man, servants, both man and woman, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now, a translation, my translation of that could be, I will pour out my spirit on children, grown-ups, middle-aged people, pensioners, man and woman, working-class people, middle-class, upper-class people, those with degrees, those without degrees, those in positions, those with no positions, those on high-pay jobs, those on low-pay jobs, natives and foreigners. I think you get the gesture. The Holy Spirit is available to all. But in our New Testament reading, in our Old Testament reading, it also says it is linked to calling, the person calling on the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. So it's not all people like everyone in a sense of, because that's not the reality, but is representative of all categories. It's available to all if one wants to respond to its work, to its calling. Acknowledge, because the Holy Spirit's main work is to bring us first to Jesus, to see more clearly who Jesus is, what he has done on our behalf, and what he continues to do as he now is with the Father. It's about acknowledging him as my ruler and my rescuer. It's a promise for all believers, all the time, enabling each one to participate in his life and to witness with boldness. We've commissioned Rachel. She responded to what the Holy Spirit told her, the kind of ministry and service in this church. But you all have ministries, service, gifts, abilities to use, not just here in this faith community, but also where you live, among your family, at work, among your colleagues, in your neighborhood. So we're going to use those kind of key words, revere, revive, restore, renew, because they kind of summarize some of the works that the Holy Spirit does. Revealing is about making known, bringing to light, teaching, instructing, guiding. Reviving is this idea of the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. We'll see that he was present at creation, hovering around a world that was in not formed, bringing order into this chaos, bringing light into darkness. He is the one who gives us new life. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't live the Christian life. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born again, born from above, born from the Holy Spirit. Restore, I like the words that has been used in Lectio 365, which is restoried. We need to be restoried. We need to hear a different kind of story that we have heard from the world. We need to hear the love of God. We need to hear our new identity in him. We need to hear and be restored and then renewed, which is kind of redirected, being given a new purposes, growing in that purposes that God has for us, his intended plans. And that was what Joel was all about. You know, it was about listen to the message. This is the message God has given me, revealed to me. He wants to give you life. He doesn't want you to be brutally taken over by an enemy. But you need to be restored. You need to go back to your story, the story of God calling you into a relationship, a covenant, and you will be renewed. The Holy Spirit will come and renew. And we have a tendency with the Holy Spirit to feel like it's me and the Holy Spirit, and to feel quite often for me guilty that I'm not filled enough with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit and being filled is also a community reality. How as a community we are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we live in the age of the Spirit. As you said, Jesus is ascended, the Holy Spirit. This is the age of the Holy Spirit. So the question is, do we live in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's what Jesus promised. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Power speaks about, well, all the stories for the first Jewish Christian, all the stories that they knew of power when the Holy Spirit came in power on people, whether it's Samson, David, all the stories of the prophets, that was the kind of power that God will going to give all of them new abilities to fulfill his plans. It's about strength and courage and abilities also to live the Christian life. And not just that, but to be witnesses. And witnesses, N.T. Wright says, it's not just you tell the story of God in your life, this is important, but witnesses is to stand boldly that there's only one true ruler, only one true Lord, only one true Savior, and it's not Caesar for the first Christian, it's Jesus. And that was explosive. That was life-threatening to proclaim that Jesus, not Caesar, was the true ruler, the one to worship, the one to follow. They needed it, power and strength to do that because, and for many, it cost their lives. Jesus promised that whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flowing from within. Streams of living water. So here is another question. Is that what we experience here at St. James? Often we say, is that what I experience in my life? And then I feel guilty, you know, just wait this afternoon with the reality of four kids and, you know, the reality of being a husband and having to work, living water. But that's what Jesus says. So what does he is talking about? Well, I think it's about first longing for it, being willing to be surprised by God's presence and by God's coming to us, being willing to be changed, maybe to laying down unfruitful, dry works that he shows us so that we can be filled with those this living water. But water, I think you realize when we haven't drank for a time, what does it do to our body? It makes us tired. We are unable to think as clearly maybe. We feel a bit down and maybe depressed. And then you drink water, nice, nice cold water, and you feel refreshed. All of a sudden, you kind of feel new energy. It's like you've eaten something sometimes, you know. You feel re-energized, and your head is a little bit clearer. I think that's something to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. When we spend time, when we are low, we think more clearly. We get more energized to do his work and to do our work, our normal work in life. So in a sense, it's about placing ourselves in his hands. It's about allowing him to shape us, to guide us, to direct us. He always directs us to know more about Jesus. It's about entrusting ourselves to him and to learn to see and to do the kind of things that Jesus did, because the Holy Spirit continues the work of Jesus. And what was the work of Jesus? Well, it's interesting. We will see, you know, when we remember the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has a mission. That mission hasn't changed. That mission is the mission of the church. And when it's filled with the Spirit, those kind of work will be manifested. Of course, the Spirit gives gifts and abilities, but it's not for me, and it's not just for you. It's so that because a stream, if it's overflowed, that means it will influence others. It will spring out. It will overflow so that as you drink, others will see what's happening in your life and will be refreshed, nourished, and they will want to know. So are we living a stream or are we living more like a trickle? I believe St. James is not just a trickle, but there is more stream to come. And we need to be praying and opened and asking for it. We are to be streams of living water in our families, among our friends, colleagues, in our neighborhood, at work, so that others will also experience the renewing, the restoring that God wants in their lives. So that's about being, the word we say, filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? As I read and prepare, there was a sentence that really caught my attention, and that was kind of liberating. And the sentence was said, we all charismatic, because we all have the Holy Spirit. We might not express as much as God might want it, but there is no such thing as non-charismatic and charismatic. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You are charismatic. And to be filled, I like in the course Alpha, I like the picture of a sponge. You know, the sponge that to fill the sponge with water, you need to put it in the water. If it's dry, you know, and when you put it, like, it fills with water. But when you take it out, the water starts dripping. And that's what we need, you know. It's not just for us. The Holy Spirit, its work needs to drip out of us, as a matter of picture. But as it drips, there is less water in it. So you need to replunge. So we need to take time in God's presence. I'm reading a Jew, Jonathan Sacks. I think some of you know him. He was very known for Thoughts of the Day for many years. And it's very good to read a Jew explaining the Old Testament. And what am I saying that? I don't know. I was going. There was a thought. It will come back. But there was something about what he said that was supposed to be here. Jonathan Sacks and Holy Spirit. I have no idea. There we go. Let's move on. The presence of God. There will be, I remember now. how he brings about why in their own spirituality there is morning prayer, afternoon prayer, and evening prayer. And I must say, in our Christian life and maybe in our low church and in our evangelical heritage, we've lost that. To take time throughout the day to pause in a way that works for you, but to pause in the morning, to pause at lunch, and to pause in the evening, morning prayer, afternoon prayer, and evening. That was part of the normal pattern of life in the first Jewish Christian. They didn't have to relearn that. It was just part of their... And it's the pattern of our Muslim friends. They do that. If we don't have that, we won't grow into a sense that God is with us all the time. So find a time, even if it's 5-7 minutes, to start the day with God. Find a time at lunch to pause, to be with God. Find a time to reflect in the evening. Look back with gratitude, with sorrow maybe, to say sorry, and just to commit your night into God's hands. Certainly to have a good night's sleep. I had to pray this week for my dog. Now, I believe, you know, God is interested in all of his creation, so he must be interested in my dog. And for whatever reason, our dog was very anxious. We thought he had eaten in indigestion because he ran from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock around the house all the time, jumping on it. We couldn't sleep. So the next day, when he started again, I prayed. I said, God, this is your creation. Can you help us to quiet him down? It still took 2 hours the next day, but he sleeps now. So that's good. So how do we grow that presence of God? And what can we say about the Holy Spirit today? Well, in the Old Testament, it says, you know, the sons and daughters will prophesy, your old man will dream dreams, your young man will see visions. They were used to that language. Prophets, they knew, people who spoke the words of God. Dreams, they knew the story of Joseph, for example, who had dreams, and God used his dreams. Vision, Ezekiel, the vision is not like a dream, it's not at night when you're asleep, it's something when you awake. And of course, we have the vision of Peter in Acts. In Acts, we see, and often we, instead of saying Acts of the Apostle, it says the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we see the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit from Pentecost to then throughout the birth of the church. A power to communicate the message, that's what we see in Rider chapter 2, when Peter stands up, says what's happening, and people are cut to their hearts, and a new congregation grows. But also, it's about continuing the work of Jesus. Jesus who said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do what? To preach, to tell good news. That's what we need to do at church. Tell good news. To preach good news to the poor, to those who are forgotten, the least and the last. To heal the broken heart. It's good news for those who are brokenhearted, for those who feel stuck in life. To announce that captives shall be released. Those who are blinded maybe by their own mistakes and their own choices, or blinded by the pull of the world, they will see who God is more clearly and who they are in God. To free those who are oppressed, and there are many, many oppressed people around us. And maybe we feel ourselves oppressed by things. That God is ready, I like that sentence, God is ready always to give blessings to all who come to him. And that's why we want to have the prayer ministry at the front, because God is ready. He wants to give blessings to all those who come to him. Each time you come to prayer, something will happen. Even if you don't feel it, even if we don't feel it, God will bless. God will do something. So we want to grow in the life of the Spirit. We want to be filled and refilled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit will give us abilities for the common good. We're going to explore the gifts of the Holy Spirit later. He's going to form in us the life of Jesus. We're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He will enable us to do the kind of things he wants us to do in our community. He will grow our confidence in telling others about Jesus. We won't feel ashamed. We won't feel like we're stuck, or we need to do pre-evangelism. We need to be kind of gentle. And God wants us to also make steps of faith. The gospel is powerful. Yes, we need to do that sensitively and with generosity, but we shouldn't be ashamed. We have good news. You have experienced good news. We shouldn't hold it. So what God is saying to us as a church, as we grow, being bolder in sharing our faith and proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And that good news, well, in our passage, there are three elements. Jesus died for our sins, Paul would say, according to Scripture. And so Luke says, you know, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do, his teaching, until the day he was taken up to heaven. That's part of the message. Jesus rose from the dead. That's central to our message, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Luke says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. We don't know the kind of conversation Jesus had with his disciples, but he was preparing them for 40 days and showed proof that he was alive, bodily, resurrected. And so we have all those stories of, Thomas touching, eating them, breakfast on a beach. But it was different because Jesus could appear without opening a door. So the resurrection is central to our message. And then finally, that Jesus will come again. Now is the time for people to respond. And now is the time for us to share the message, even if it's not easy. Because that's what the disciple says. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times. We shouldn't spend our time trying to find out, Jesus says. That's not our calling. Our calling, what is it? You will receive power and you will be my witness. That's what we are called. So this is just an overview of what we're going to explore. The Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And to grow and to ask for God's Spirit to come and to fill us afresh and to guide. So I'm just going to do as a conclusion a kind of gentle prayer. So you might want to close your eyes, you might want to keep your eyes opened. There is no right and wrong way. But it's just as we come through the series that God will teach us, guide us, fill us, and show us his life afresh. So come, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And come, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Reveal our dead works. Revive our passion for the good news. Restore our expectations and faith. Renew our path. And if there is a mountain in your life this morning, God is ready to give blessings to all who come to him. Or maybe you're running on empty at the moment. You feel quite dry. Or maybe you're plagued by constant need to be seen or heard, to be at the center, and it's exhausting. Or maybe you feel stuck or burdened, wishing to be freed. Come, Holy Spirit. Restore, renew, revive. We ask that for the sake of Jesus, who is alive, reigns, and calls. Amen. Now, that might have stirred something up for you. So when we have communion, there will be prayer ministry. And after the service, there will also be prayer ministry. So use the opportunity. God is there to bless all those who come to him. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.